Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast, the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather. I'm Andy Eubank on the 22nd of November. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here with the news, including the new Farm Bureau Thanksgiving meal prices survey declining again this year and tractor technology continuing to expand. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more at ffbt.com. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for more blustery weather today and persistent clouds. And the ag markets sold off yesterday. We'll have the settlements and Mike Silver market analysis here on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Your Thanksgiving meal will cost a little bit less this year in connecting your farm equipment to your phone. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Each year, Farm Bureau sends out volunteer shoppers around the country to calculate the cost of a typical Thanksgiving Day meal for 10 people.
So according to our volunteer shoppers, the average cost of a Thanksgiving meal for 10 people is $58.08, or about $5.80 a person.
That's Farm Bureau economist Barrett Nelson with the findings across the U.S. The findings in Indiana were a little bit less, $53.31, or $5.33 per person, but many of the trends and prices are quite similar at the state and national level.
This is about 5% lower than last year, but it's almost 20% higher than just 5 years ago. So even though we've had 2 years of decline in prices, this doesn't erase the dramatic increases that we saw that led to record high prices in 2022.
He says shoppers will see increases in the price of several items.
The biggest increases were kind of in some of the big ticket items. So we had foods like stuffing and dinner rolls. These went up by about 8%. The biggest price increase was in the price of cranberries. So this was up 12% this year. And something to keep in mind is that cranberries saw a significant decrease last year, around 18% drop in prices. According to our survey, this year's price increase puts cranberries closer to the historic norms.
And Nelson says this year's basket of goods reflects the overall economy.
While inflation has slowed down, it really hasn't slowed down enough to bring costs back down to these pre-pandemic level. So it's really important to remember that our farmers and ranchers, like our consumers, are also dealing with inflation. So the cost of supplies to grow food has gone up, while USDA predicts that net farm income is going to be down nearly 25% compared to just 2 years ago.
For more information on the Thanksgiving Day Dinner Survey, visit our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Well, we've sure come a long way with farm technology since Grandpa's old Farmall tractor years and years ago. Yeah, you can agree. CJ Miller reports on the latest technology that's now available from Case IH.
For example, Case IH has recently rolled out its new app and web application called Field Ops. Kendall Quandall with Case IH explains how the app helps you manage the data from your Case IH equipment right to your phone.
So I like to think about data in two different buckets. So the first bucket is the in-season data. What's happening on my operation? Where is every combine, every semi, if we choose to connect those, all the tractors? We can connect and see what's happening and make decisions in season. Do we need to change our plans for the day based on progress? Do we need to find another semi-driver for today to reduce our idle time? It's that in-season core data that we're pulling off our equipment and delivering directly to a farmer's phone.
She says the Field Ops app also provides important agronomic data from your Case IH equipment.
So we've recorded every single pass we make across our operation. So looking at all the different layers, whether it's a tillage layer from Soil Command stacked on top of a planting layer, so we can see how did our seedbed quality based on our tillage performance, that impacts our final yield. We know that from an agronomic perspective. So it's easy to become overwhelmed with data. So we like to break it down and say, you want to look at tillage and planting? Let's look at tillage and planting. and that's it. Let's filter everything else out and understand what happened in that situation.
And with the app, you can also track and view your machine's fuel consumption and performance, as well as the agronomic data, all in real time and while your machines are operating.
My number one takeaway is if you are even remotely interested in getting a little bit more technology advanced on your operation, you can visit caseih.com or an even better resource, your local Case IH dealership.
The best part, you can download the Case IH Field Ops web and mobile app for free. It's available now in the Apple Store and Google Play Store. You can find all of those links at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got another blustery day here for your Friday. Kind of windy, straight out of the north. We're still seeing that circulation come around low pressure in Michigan. I am seeing a little bit of improvement in its track and path out of here. I think that we see this circulation today have to allow for sprinkles and wet snowflakes through the Hoosier State. Less coverage than yesterday, less intensity than yesterday, but it's still here. I still think we're going to be seeing the clouds into tomorrow before they break up tomorrow afternoon. Temperatures on the way to moderation on Sunday. Do not get used to it. I think Monday starts okay, but then we see a few hit and misses, spits and sprinkles and clouds coming back overnight Monday night into Tuesday. The balance of Tuesday is just cool with clouds and limited sun. Wednesday, increasing clouds through the day. Overnight Wednesday night through Thanksgiving Thursday, we have a fantastic round of moisture coming by to our south. Heavy rain and thunderstorms in Missouri through the Boot Heel, Kentucky, Tennessee. But the offshoot of that system is going to throw clouds and a little bit of precipitation into Indiana. I'm looking at rain at this point through Thanksgiving Day. Overnight Thanksgiving night into Black Friday, I think we see rain go to snow. So Friday, I'm going to say there will be some snow accumulation across the state. Almost 90% coverage of snow there on a Friday. We'll take a bit of a pause for Saturday the 30th. And then for Sunday the 1st into Monday the 2nd, another strong low coming in from the west and southwest. Very windy, very cold air coming around behind this. So rain goes to snow again. And I think we can see some snow accumulations into Monday the 2nd. That entire first full week of December looks to me to be very chilly here. We're starting December off in an exact opposite way from where we started November, and we're seeing Mother Nature try and correct to the winter season very, very quickly here. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It was a sell-off in the ag markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review, and I'll have all the numbers momentarily. We'll begin with market analysis. I grab that at the end of the session from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike, the bean market yet again having trouble getting any kind of footing, and that comes even after a good export sales report and more flash sales, too. So what's the problem?
Well, we have several headwinds, obviously. The strength of the U.S. dollar is not doing us any favors, even in spite of good weekly export sales. And as you indicated, we did have another round today of flash export sales. But we're trading the technical aspect of the market right now, more so than anything. We're just having trouble breaking out above our moving averages that are acting as resistance levels. And of course, you know, the impending huge South American crop, it looks like. I mean, it's getting substantially planted now, and there's benign weather forecasts down there now. So the anticipation of a huge South American crop also is a headwind against seeing any upward movement in the soybean market. Now, we talked about the export sales. We are making some progress in our export sales program, but we still lag the pace needed to meet the USDA export projections, export sales projections, by about 1%. Now, that's quite an improvement from where we have been running, but still, the world has plenty of beans right now, expects to have more beans when we get into South American harvest. And of course, we have uncertainties in the market about how the Chinese are going to react to impending talk of tariffs and how that's all going to play out, and just uncertainty. So today's trade, there's not much news in today's trade other than the export sales report. And as I've said before, we did have good weekly export sales in the soybeans today, 1.860 million metric tons. That was actually above the high end of the expectations at 1.6 million metric tons, and that was better than last week's 1.55 million metric tons. So it was a good week of weekly export sales, but that was not enough to spur the futures market higher with these other geopolitical issues and technical headwinds that we have in play. Now, the corn number came in. It was a good number, too, 1.494 million metric tons. That was higher than last week's 1.315 million metric tons, and that was at the higher end of the expectations. The high end of the estimate was 2.2 million metric tons. But in the corn market, we're in a little bit different situation there. We've had good export sales of corn, and we're actually 11% ahead of the pace needed to meet the USDA export projections. So we'll see how this all plays out. And hopefully tomorrow, which 22nd of November, we have December option expiration tomorrow. So we may see some action from the expiration of the December options in the corn market tomorrow. But we'll see. Hopefully we can garner from USDA another daily export sales flash of corn, and that would be just supportive to the market. I mentioned geopolitical issues are headwinds in the market. The increasing multi-year high in the U.S. dollar index, so any commodities in the global market are pretty much traded on the U.S. dollar. So a higher dollar simply means it makes our grains less attractive in the world. So from an export standpoint, but in spite of that, we're seeing pretty decent sales. This thing with China remains to be seen. We know that there's a love relationship between China and Brazil. That's been evident for a long time. And the question is, are we going to have enough oomph in our new agricultural policy and our trade programs and everything with our upcoming new administration to make a change there that we can increase our share, our U.S. global share of the world grain market? And that, of course, remains a factor that we're going to have to deal with in the days, weeks, and months ahead. So there's going to be opportunity, Andy. We just have to make sure that we know our positions, that we take advantage of opportunity and not get too optimistic about where things are headed, because although we are well off our fall lows in both the corn, more so corn than the soybeans, but in both of them really, we still have plenty of grain in the world right now to meet global grain demand. So we just want to make sure that we encourage agricultural policies with our new administration to make sure that we remain at the forefront of global grain exports. And we've got our work cut out for us in that regard, Andy.
Mike Silver, Market Analysis. Mike is with Kokomo Grain, and the number there is 800-666-0613. More numbers now. It's the Thursday settlements. December corn, 3.5 cents down, finishing at 426¾. March and May down 3¾. March going to 436¼, and May 443¼. January beans, 977¾. 12¾ lower, 14 cents down on the March contract, 985¼. And December wheat, 548¾, losing 3¾. The meat markets were mixed. Live cattle futures down 70 cents down on December, 185.60. And December lean hogs, $80.80, a gain of 27 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.